the Lord with you and do to see each one of you here. Just appreciate all of our soldiers. Amen. We have many. And so just really appreciate what the Lord's doing. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to open to Matthew chapter 11. We love the Lord.
Amen.
Really appreciate the song service, especially the specials. And we don't want to stop praying. We don't want to stop believing. That song, Brother Tim sung, that could be my theme song this week. I've been on vacation this week, and the Lord has been so near. It's just hard to describe. My prayer is that everyone can experience the God that I'm talking about today. Amen. You know, praying is very close to spoken word. Now think about it. You're asking, you're speaking, you're asking for God to move, and then He does. That's pretty close to what we know as third pool. Right? Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. I don't care what it is, how hard it is, how big a giant it looks like, how long it's been, how many it impacts. Just believe it. Amen? Just keep believing it. And reading there and studying. If God can take the sun, well, actually it's the earth, but make the sun stop and not go down for about a day. Or even make it go backwards by 10 degrees. That's equivalent to about 40 minutes. 40 minutes in time for Hezekiah. If God can take this planet and stop it and make it go back, I'm pretty sure He can answer our prayers.
Right.
Amen. And so don't stop believing. Amen. Matthew chapter 11, rather lengthy reading, but that's okay because it is His word. Verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? I just want to stop for a moment. John was the forerunner. God used him mightily to point to the forerunner. And yet John had questions. I say that because I want you to understand today that you as a believer, you may think you're not even a believer, but you as a believer, just because you struggle, because you go through things and sometimes you doubt, that does not mean you're not a believer. It does not mean you're not one of God's children.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Even John doubted. He should come. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not so offended in me. Jesus' answer to John's question, Are you the one to come? Jesus' answer was, Just tell him what you see happening. What you see happening vindicates it. Amen?
Amen.
As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, concerning this forerunner, What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what you went out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, and I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say to you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is likened to children sitting in the marketplace and calling unto their fellows, and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced, and we have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man glutton, a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it should be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it should be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's just pray. Lord, how thankful we are because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Lord, we just ask that you would speak to every heart this morning. God, that you would break the bread of life. It does not lie within a man to do so, but only with you. And so we ask, God, that you would just open your word this morning and that you would seal it away to every heart, every believer. And Lord, we just love you. And at this time, in your hands, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Amen. And we love the Lord.
Amen.
So this last week, I sent out a bunch of links to the testimonies that I had mentioned last week in service. Some of them, I think I mentioned all of them, but I sent those links out to everyone. And I send them to you because I want you to listen to them. Because God has done a great thing in our day. Something that just doesn't happen every day. It doesn't happen every century. And it's without question. It is here. And I want everybody to understand just what God has done. Because I know a lot of you have listened to those testimonies, but some of you may not have. And so I pray that you do. Those testimonies are there for a reason, so that you will understand that walking on this earth, there was a man who absolutely had exactly in his life what you see these prophets of old had, and that this is for a purpose. You can comb this world over right now, out of however many billion people, you will not find that gift. Because it was to come one time for us Gentiles. And I sent those links because I want you to listen to these men. I want you to hear the testimonies. I want you, I've met these men personally myself and had set a table and eat supper with them and the many different ones that we know. This happened. And it's happened just like those men said it. And so I want everyone in it, and I'm going to be asking you, because I don't want to stand on that day and say I didn't try. I want every one of you to listen to those and see what God has done. And then in the light of that, ask ourselves, what are we going to do about it? And so that's why I sent those things. And so, as I said a while ago, because even believers, we're going to see this in scriptures here in just a little bit, not just what I said, but even believers struggle sometimes with the very things that God has done, this truth, and eventually come to it. And so if you're struggling right now, that does not mean that you're just totally outside. This is for you. The scripture said, behold, I send you, Elijah, the prophet, right? So put your name in there, right? He sent Elijah to Brother Tony. He sent Elijah to Brother Daniel. You put your name in it. So that means that your relationship with God and in what he's doing in this hour, you have to come to a personal reckoning of what this Elijah was. Because that scripture, regardless of what everybody says, the scripture said, I send to you, Elijah the prophet. So now you receive that prophet. And then you do with it what your heart and your faith says. But I want to make sure that you do it in a light of understanding just what it is that God has done in our day. Amen? And so, it's for you. You can handle it. And so, you have to understand that you know, the prophet talked about how if you want to make someone well, you know, back then they used to, the druggist would mix the drugs, right? Now they just, some pharmacy somewhere makes it, some and they send it in, or some company and they send it and it's all. But back in those days, a druggist would mix the things. And so you hear the prophet talk about, well, if you'd have to mix it right. And he would say you had to put enough of the poison there to kill the problem, but you got to have enough of the good in there and not so much that you kill the person. Right? And so you have to understand that what God would have to do in any age would have to be powerful enough to destroy the enemy and do it in such a way that man couldn't get in there and tamper with it. Right? So it would have to be so powerful that it would obliterate all man's ability to comprehend it himself. And so that the only way that you could grasp what God has just done is if the mind of Christ comes in you and allows you to see it. Right? So to the common person who is maybe struggling and maybe their walk with the Lord is not where it should be, I trust that I know every one of you have had walk with the Lord. I don't know where all of you are, but maybe if your walk's not the best in the world, then you're going to struggle with the very things that God has done to obliterate the devil in your day. Right. So you have to understand that you need something besides yourself to look at this. You need the Holy Spirit in your life so that you can look through his eyes to comprehend what it is that God has done. So if we're back off and we're lacking in our surrender to the Lord, if we're not surrendering him, saying, God, teach me every day, teach me, reveal these things to me every day. If you're not doing that, how do you expect to go any further in the revelation? How do you expect to understand what it is that Brother Daniel, Brother Tony talks about and the different ones? How do you, when you know that you're slacking your own walk, how do you expect? See what I'm saying? So this is opportunity here. I want to go back and kind of do a reset and say, let's go at this again. And let's make sure as we go at it, we're going at it with the Spirit of the Lord moving us rather than trying to comprehend it ourselves in our own thinking. Because you can't do that. Right? It will not happen. Because it had to be so powerful that it had to bypass even a man with his intellect to be able to come in. Because if a man could comprehend what it was in his own self, why would he need to die on the cross and send back his spirit? Right. We couldn't, see? And so since man could not do that himself and he had to die to send back his Holy Spirit, then we have to have that baptism of the Holy Spirit to be able to move on and even to comprehend it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says it, you know, that you cannot know the ways of God unless it's the Spirit of God in you.
Right.
Amen. So, last week we talked about, and I'm going to title this again today, He That Hath an Ear, Part 2. He That Hath an Ear to Hear, Part 2. Let him hear. So last week I spoke about how that God speaks in His Word. And so we read there, you know, that he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. If we want to be an overcomer in this age, then we have to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us in this age. Right. See, that was there. I've said there's about at least 15 times, I think it was, where the Lord said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And to each of the church age, each of the different messages to the seven churches, it's in there for everyone. And so in Luther's day, there was something the Holy Spirit was saying in that day, and saying it through Luther and saying it through the lives of people in that day, that for people to hear. And so, you know, the Lord would say this to us, he that hath an ear, because these are specific scriptures that he wanted to make sure that we could see that deeper meaning, that we could pay attention to it and not gloss over it, and make sure that somehow or another we would understand what he was saying there and get something to gain out of it. So Jesus would say that, he that hath, pay attention to these scriptures. He that hath an ear, listen to this. And so we talked about how that in this day, if we want to overcome, just like every day, there is something that the Holy Spirit is saying to us in this day, and to be overcomers in this day, we've got to catch that. And so, being led by the Holy Spirit to see what God is doing. So we talked about how that God had worked in many lives of people, how that God would speak, how that the people's lives in the Old Testament and all through the ages, that those people's lives were absolutely God speaking. That you could look at those lives and you could get a message from them that was a message from God that he would want us to be able to see and to know. And so we could ask ourselves, what were these lives saying? What was, when Adam was a son of God, and when he took Eve to himself, and some of these I mentioned last week, maybe some I'll mention today I didn't, but when Adam took Eve and took sin upon himself and became pagan, what was God saying out of Adam? And what he was saying to us is that the last Adam, or the next Adam, Jesus Christ, that Jesus would take our sins upon him that he might save us. That's what it was saying. So that scripture was saying Jesus is coming. That scripture was saying Christ is coming. The Messiah is coming. And he's telling us in that scripture what he's going to do when he comes. He's going to die for his people. His wife, he's going to die for his bride. See, and so you can hear what those scriptures, what those lives, these are literal lives of people that were lived out that was foretelling these things to come. What if that was your life? That was not a trivial thing that Adam went through there when he was confronted with that. What I do? Because he could have backed up and said, "Well, I'm not going to do that. Eve, you have sinned. You're going to die because God said that the day you're going to die, and I don't want no part of it." And if he would have done that, then Jesus would have said, "No, I ain't going to Calvary for these people." Aren't you glad that Adam suffered that sorrow and that pain in that day? You talk about our lives. Oh, we have such hard things and such things that come along. It's hard to cope with. What about those people? What about Adam? His whole life was uprooted, right? He had to deal with that situation. And I'm glad that he dealt with it the way he did, because that was a type and a shadow, and it was God speaking, telling you, Christ will die for her. Right. Amen. Thank God for it. Why? What was the scripture saying when we read in the Bible that Abraham and Sarah had the same father but different mothers? They were half brother and sister, right? Because we have the same father as the Lord Jesus Christ. We, as the bride of Christ, have the same heavenly father as he had, right? So you can see how these things pointing to the future, and they give you confidence to know he's going to die for my sins. He did. You know, when Sarah laughed, we know that when the Lord was coming down to do the discernment and so forth, that she laughed and doubted and said, "Well, you know, me, my Lord, my husband, old, how can we have a child?" And so, as the prophet said, how could it? Can you imagine her, God standing there in flesh, discerning and standing there knowing what she was thinking back in her tent there. He was out here with Abraham and talking to him, and she's in the tent, and she hears this conversation, how that God tells Abraham, I'm going to visit you in the time of life, and you're going to have a child. I don't care how long it's been. I don't care how long you've waited for this revival. You're going to have it, because I'm sending it. She was sitting back here in the tent, way back here, and you know, how's that going to happen? And she laughed in her heart, you know? And this one who's out here discerned that, right? And this is why I want you to see these testimonies that I sent you. Like Brother Perry Green said, I found out that God knows everything, and he can show it to someone else if he wants to.
Right?
God knows all of what's going on with you. Everything. Right? And so he discerned and said, why did you laugh? And the prophet said, oh my, I didn't laugh. Lie to God in his face? Well, he could have just slew her right there. But the prophet said he couldn't slay her because she was a part of Abraham. And in order for him to do that to her, it would hurt Abraham. So because of the covenant, because of the promise and the covenant with Abraham, he couldn't touch her, no matter how much she laughed, no matter how much she doubted. He couldn't get, right? And doesn't that give you confidence to understand that when you have your low day and your low time and you're doubting, you're disbelieving, and you're turning to the arm of the flesh, doesn't that give you confidence to know? But because of the covenant, because for his name's sake, he can't destroy me because I'm part of Christ.
Right.
See? So that should give you uplifting courage in these days when you're going through troubles and you know that you've missed the mark and you fell short and you fall flat on your face. Just remember, he cannot destroy you because you're part of Christ.
Right.
See, that's what these things are for, is to give us faith, to give us confidence, to believe that God can do these things, and he did do these things. So we got to say, well, what are these lives saying? Well, this is what it's saying. It's telling us. Amen. When Joseph was rejected, you know how Joseph was loved of his father, and what was that story telling us? And it was telling us that Jesus Christ would come. You know, he'd come and he would be rejected by his brethren, and they would kill him. And he'd go down into the bowels of the earth, and then he would be exalted out and brought to the highest position in the land other than Pharaoh himself. That's Jesus. Jesus was rejected by his brothers. Went into the pits of the earth, come back up, and he's to the highest position there. And while he was in that position, he was given a wife of a Gentile bride. What was that story telling you? It's telling you that when Jesus is going to come, his people are, listen, in that day, it would be offensive. If those Jewish people would have understood, it would have been offensive to them to tell them, you're fixing to kill your Lord.
Right.
But they were under deception, and so they killed him. But it would have been offensive, right? So this is saying that he was going to come to his own. They would have to be blinded. And so they would crucify him. He would go into the pit of the earth, into hell. And when he would come out, he would be exalted to the highest position there is, in other than God himself, you understand. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. And during that time, after those Jews rejected him, he would visit the Gentile people, that's us, to find this bride church for him. Isn't that what he's doing? See? So scriptures will give you confidence to understand. It's clear. This Bible is clear what's going on. And if you'll just stay with it and listen to it and study it and be around gifted men that can break this with you, you'll see that these things are absolutely the truth. But I want to show you that the struggle you're going through is the same struggles they went through. And you could almost miss it just like they almost missed it. And many will miss it like a lot of them missed it. And so your battle is exactly what theirs was.
Right.
You're no different. God has sent it to you.
Yeah.
And he wants you to hear it.
Amen.
And he's through ministry here is saying, he that hath an ear, listen to this.
Yeah.
Don't appeal to your intellect, but appeal to that ear that God gives you. Listen through that.
Amen.
Right? And so that's what he's doing. So when Joseph was rejected, we see that was a story telling us that Christ would be rejected and he'd get a Gentile bride. And incidentally, also, the rapture that is in there, because when he makes himself known to his brother, she was in the palace. She was in the palace and already had children by him. So this Gentile church is already going to have a marriage relationship and intimacy with Christ, married and husband and wife, before he makes himself known to those Jews over there. No question about it. See, I come up to all the ranks and churches and different things that, oh yeah, no, we're going through tribulation. No, yeah, we are. No, we're not. Bunch of man talking. But when you look at the scriptures, it's pretty clear. Right? So that's why all the confusion, because we're this guy says it and that guy says it, and all this guy says something else, and all, and it's because that's where the problem is. They're thinking and talking about it. But if you just go back to the Bible tells you that by the time he has that, that he reveals himself to his brethren again, the ones who rejected him, he's already got that wife. Amen. So, I think I mentioned last week, what was the story of when the children of Israel were in the desert places and they were thirsty? Like us, we go through desert places and we need the living water. Right? You go through thirsty places every week, you need the living water.
Okay.
They were needing water. And God had these things happen. Right? Sometimes it was just people doing what they felt led to do. And sometimes God said specifically, do this. And so the children of Israel were thirsty, and God said, go down there to that rock, and you smack that rock, and water will come out for the people. So millions of peoples out there, 2 million, besides, you know, women and children, I think was something like that. That many lives of people out there thirsty, wondering where they're going to get their next drink, thinking they're going to perish in the, being tested and trying to say, well, I wonder, maybe we should have been back in Egypt instead of been out here. They're all tested and being tried as to where they're at. And during that test and that trial, God came on the scene. Did he not? Had Moses go and smite the rock. Didn't have everybody else do it. He had that chosen one that he had there to help lead the people. Had him go and he smote the rock and waters come out, and it was enough water to quench the thirst of all those people and their animals and everything. Right?
Right.
Amen. Moses smote that rock. You know, the New Testament tells us that rock was Christ. And you know what else it says about it? It said that rock was following them. That's what your Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10. That rock was following the children of Israel. You know what that sounds like? That sounds to me like that Christ wanted to make sure he was available there with them. He was interested in them. He was following them. He wanted to stay with them. It wasn't them trying to stay with him. He wanted to stay with them. Our Redeemer. Wanting to stay with us. Wanting to be there. Wanting to be ready at hand whenever we needed. Amen? That rock followed him. Followed him. When David stood up over Jerusalem and he wept as a rejected king, and so many hundreds of years later, however long it was, that Christ is standing over the same Jerusalem weeping as a rejected king. See, David's life, you're like, what was this all about? Well, it was telling us that Christ would do the same. He would be a rejected king. And he'd stand up over Jerusalem and weep as that rejected king. But all David came back in power, right? David had, while he was in exile, David had men who were gallant men who stayed with him because they knew one day he was coming into power. We know too. Amen? So, all of these things were speaking that Christ is coming. Christ is coming to save his people, saying how he's going to come, what he's going to do, making it clear. So with all of these, we could say to you, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Hear what these scriptures were saying. Hear what these lives these people were living were saying. You know, without an ear to hear, well, you can't hear. Right? Without an ear to hear. And I will tell you that without the ear to hear, these things that we're reading about in the scripture, they're just Bible stories. That's all it is. Just children book Bible stories. That's all it is to a person who doesn't have an ear to hear. But if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, these are monumental. These are not just stories. What I tell you what this is, to a person with an experience, with a baptism, a new birth, these are the revelation of Jesus Christ being revealed. That God said here at the end time he'd bring that revelation, and now we are partakers of it. Amen. So, it takes the Holy Spirit to do it. So how many pray for revelation? Right? Pray for revelation. Because we can't do it without it. He's promised that you can have the Holy Ghost. He did something that you won't even catch without it. But he's promised that I'll give it to you so you will see it. Right. You will have that ear to hear. Amen. He's promised to give that to you. Thank God. You know what? I don't know for any of them here that don't have an experience with the Lord yet. I remember the day when God wasn't on my mind. I remember the day when I was uncomfortable in church and they were preaching about him. I know what it's like to sit in your seat as either a believer or as one who hasn't had an experience. I know what it was like to have my life in front of me and wondering what it was going to be. How I was going to get. I had things I wanted. But didn't know how to get there. I see everybody else, different people, they just seem to have such a golden pathway to get there, all their dreams and stuff like that, and what they want, and I didn't know how, raised poor, I didn't know how it was going to come. And I thank the Lord that he didn't let me go down a lot of those pathways, right? If you'd asked me back then, where I'd be now, what? No way. Right? So I remember what it was like to want the fast sports car. My Aunt Mary can tell you that I had one, right? I know what it was like to want all that, and that was all that was on my mind, and I wanted to find a girlfriend or a wife. I had all those things like that too. So you're not any, I'm just saying, God knows, he knows what you're going through. And I'm pretty sure that if you just stop and talk to him about it and invite him into your life, say, Lord, you know what I am. You know what I need. And I think if you'd be honest with yourself, you could say, Lord, I really don't. I don't want something contrary to what you would know would be good for me. But Lord, if I want things that are wrong, you change me. Just ask him, come into my life and guide me. Even if you're a believer and have been for years, you do the same thing. It's, Lord, guide me. Help me, because I see right here, as we've talked about today, without you helping me, we're all undone. Right. So I remember those things. And so we want to ask God for revelation and for him to show us and help us to understand these things. And I would... You with a sincere, very sincere heart, be willing to give up the things of the world to come to him and ask him to make your life clear and put your feet on a steady pathway and see if he doesn't do it. So, a lot of these lives being spoken back there in the Old Testament, speaking of things to come, he that hath an ear, what we're talking about. Some of those things that are spoken there, were very hard to understand. I alluded to it a while ago when I mentioned it, but as the scripture said, these are hard things. Who can hear it? In other words, meaning that people don't like what they're hearing. They don't like what it means to their own walk. And if all you want is millions of dollars and all the booze you can drink and carousing and all that, then this gospel, it's not going to sound good to you, right? But if God changes your heart, then these things mean everything to you.
Right.
Amen. And I've been on both sides of the fence. I'm telling you, right? I know. I've been there. And so some of these things were hard things to say. We see there in St. John chapter 6 when Jesus began to say, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, there's no life in you. Now, prior to that, Jesus had done all these miracles, and people loved it. People today love the gospel that can heal them, the gospel that can make them rich, the gospel that can do this and can do that. But when it comes down to the instructions of how our lives must be conducted to please him, they don't want that. And Jesus, you know, the prophet came along and he spoke of the three poles of ministry. And that's what these are talking about. Jesus had the healings and miracles and so forth, and everybody loved that pole of his ministry. But when it come down to the word, they didn't like the word. Because he said, you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Well, again, to carnal nature, what's this guy saying? He's asked us to be vampires, right? He's asking us to be cannibals. Because that's just in intellect, right? But there's a deeper meaning there that Christians are to catch, right? And so many, and the scripture said there when he said, you're seeking me because of the fishes and loaves. You like all the mighty miracles. You like the good times and all that. But now that I'm telling you that you got to dress a certain way to please him, you got to walk and live a certain way, there's things you can't do and all that, you don't like that. You just want the blessing, but you don't want the fun of being married to, you know, but you don't want the commitment of having to wash the clothes, and you understand what I mean? You want the good things of Christ, but you don't want to live the way he would want. This happens today too. So they're telling, he said, you're doing that. And he said, you're seeking me because of fishes and loaves and the miracles and all that. But don't labor for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endureth to everlasting life. Let me break that down here for a moment. All the miracles, healings, signs, wonders, they'll all perish.
Right?
Tongues cease. Prophecy, you know. Right, all that, but there was something that would endure forever. And that something that would endure was the word.
Right.
The thing that offended them. I'm telling you, if you're offended with the word, stop and look. I'm saying, hear what the scriptures is saying. If you're offended in the word, that's the thing you need. That, the part of it that doesn't offend you, that's going to go away. It's the thing that you have to struggle with for a little bit. That's the thing you got to deal with and get through it. Because that's the thing that will do something in your life that will endure to everlasting life. And I say this because people are people. And we have the possibility of making the same mistakes they did. There in St. John chapter 6, where that was happening, it said, when he told them, you've got to eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, and so forth, it said many of those that followed him for a while there, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And it said many of them went back and followed him no more. Let me pull it back into focus here. Lives. These men and were husbands, and they had wives, and they had children, and they were there, and their lives had been moved by a message. And then at some point, that message got so hard that they pulled back away, and their wives and their children were all affected by that. They pulled back away, And that was St. John chapter 6, verse 66. That is the mark of unbelief. That's why it's laying in Scripture like that. When we pull back from the very thing that offends us, that Jesus said, blessed is he who's not offended in me. Yeah. That's the place you can't back up. Go in it, stay with it, and let it change you. But they turned back and they followed no more. And he turned to his disciples and said, what about you? And that's where Peter said, Lord, I don't know where we would go, because you're the one with the words of eternal life. I say that to you today. These hard things, that is the words of eternal life. That's the place. Don't jump out of the pot when the fire gets hot. Stay with it, because God's about to do something in your life. Amen. Amen. So, that was the mark. Don't let Satan mark you. Don't let him mark you as an unbeliever. Can this repeat today? Absolutely. Jesus said, and we read it there a little while ago, whenever John the Baptist, you know, here he comes, he's forerunner now, you know, look what John, he's in prison now. Can't you imagine if the internet would have been around back then? Can you imagine the websites and all the things and all the rumors about John the Baptist? Oh, this great forerunner to Christ, and now he's in prison. Boy, people would have had a heyday with that, huh? And you know it wouldn't all have been honest, because man can't keep things honest.
Right.
They can't. I'm just telling you, we see things today, it's no different. Right? It's no different. But Jesus, when this all unfolded, and they those men that John had sent to ask, hey, are you the one? And they went back to go tell John, Jesus turned to the crowd, and Jesus felt the need to say these things we read. To say some things about this forerunner. Jesus, the one who John pointed to, forerunning, now that forerunner has something to say about that one who foreran him. So, are we going to question what Jesus had to say about John? No, we won't question that, right? So, we're going to talk about what Jesus said. But at first, as we get to the end of what Jesus said concerning John, and he said, and if you will receive it. Why? Because it was a hard thing to comprehend. These were believers. And if you will receive it, this was Elijah, which was to come. Again, in the scriptures, compelling. Listen, if you can ponder on this, don't lightly throw it to the side. If you will receive it, this was Elijah that was to come. Of course, we know Jesus goes on to say, he will come also and he will restore all things. So we know there was still another coming. But what I'm going to show you is that you're not going through anything different than they did. You were confronted with situations and hard situations, and you had people who were with it and people who were against it, and you had to make a decision. You had to make a decision. What am I going to do with this thing that's before me that I know God had to do this? Like the scripture said, we know that you come from God because a man can't do these things lest God be with him. And I tell you the testimonies that I sent you. You're in the same boat. You have to say, well, how can this be? It's because God sent it. So we're at a crossroads and had to make decisions. And have to, now what are we going to do with our lives with this message God has sent? And so Jesus said, if you can receive it, then this was Elijah to come. Because it's not an easy thing. Remember what I said at the beginning. God had to do something that nobody would catch it unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to them. Right? So we're going to approach this without being prayerful. We're going to approach it by looking at what man says and what this website says and something like that. No, the only thing you need is your Bible and a sincere prayer life before God if you want to know truth. Because he has promised to reveal truth to you. Yeah. Or else he's not God. Amen? Right. So, things that are hard to say. Paul speaks in Galatians. He's speaking to those in Galatians where he had preached the gospel to them, and they believed, and then at some point they decided they want to go back and begin to live under the law of Moses again. Right? Book of Galatians. Love that book. And so Paul says to these people, you know, like, well, we want to live by the law. We're going to live by the law. You know? And Paul says, oh, really? Really? You want to go back to the law from grace? I'm paraphrasing. You want to go back to the law? Don't you hear what the law is saying? You really want what the law is saying? You're missing something. You're a believer. You're missing something. You're going backwards. You're missing. Because the law says that there was two covenants. Right? Mount Sinai. In Arabia. Where the people feared and God. And he said that was two covenants. That covenant under the law that gendered to Arabia. And that was Hagar, who was a bond woman, whose children are not free, right? But there's a mother who's the mother of Saul, that we're all free, the New Jerusalem, right? So Paul is saying, oh, you want to live by the law? And so he's telling you, it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. Look at this. You know, it's so easy to go back to these things. It's easy to go back to the easy stuff. Easy to go back to this natural things and, you know, not having faith. But over here where we have the full blessing and of the freedom and New Jerusalem and the things that have to do with eternal life. See, even Paul is saying, pay attention to this. Pay attention to the Word. Because the Word, you know, it's going to identify those who go on with God and it identifies those who don't go on with God. It's right there. So we must align ourselves with the Word that we want the outcome to be in our life. So if we want our lives to be blessed of God without question, you've got to align yourself up to that portion of the Word, because these are things being lived out to identify. Amen? And so, because all peoples have a strong tendency to miss these things, but like I said, with the Holy Spirit, He'll help you. So, we need to remember, this goes back to what I said, you know, that there had to be something powerful enough. It's hard sayings. It's hard to sit here in this day and say, you mean everybody's not going to be saved? That's hard. I work with people who I love. I have friends, family that I love. And I can't just, well, that offends me. That can't be true because it offends. No, Jesus said, blessed is he who's not offended, because everybody is not coming up through the bride. There's going to be some come up other ways. Understand? Right? And so it's hard sayings to say this, but, it, you know, like I said, in that day, if you'd have said, you know what, you people are about to crucify your brother. We're not going to crucify our Lord. You know that's what they would have said. Right? So they had to be blinded. So in order for there to be an atonement, in order for there to be an atonement, there has to be rejection. That lamb who would die for the, you know, shed the blood for the people, put the sins of the people off for another year, that had to be rejected. It had to be slain in order for the blood to do its thing. And so what I'm telling you is that when Jesus came, in order for us to have atonement, in order for us to be free from our sins, he had to be rejected. Is that right? Then there had to be somebody rejected. It doesn't take rocket science.
Right.
It doesn't have to be. And so it doesn't take rocket science. So he had to be rejected. So there had to be some people who were guilty of rejecting him. But then when he was the atonement, then there was people who would be recipients of that atonement. So they were not rejectors. Follow me? And so it was that way in the Old Testament. It's that way when Jesus came here. And I'm going to tell you, as we get a little bit further here, it's the same today. It's the same today. Whenever, I said a while ago, when Moses had smote the rock there in Israel, when they were traveling. I think I went through it last week a little bit. When Christ was smitten on Calvary, so the living waters could come out. You know, the scripture said, out of your bellies will flow rivers of living waters. And this he spake of the Holy Ghost. Right? So just to show you. So, and by type in the Old Testament, Jesus was that rock that was smitten, and out of him come the Holy Ghost that could give people living waters. Right? And so once Christ was crucified on Calvary, then all you got to do after that is speak to him. You don't have to go crucify him again. Right, you put your sins under the blood, and so that covered it. His blood covered the sins. But afterwards, you don't have to crucify him again. You just pray and believe and talk to him and repent of it. Okay, but we see in the situation there where Moses once again, and he got flustered, and people, you know, ministry weighing on him, and all those sorts of things. We see Moses. Instead of the people got thirsty again, and God said, now go down there to that rock, that same one you smote, go down there, but this time just speak to it. And Moses didn't obey God. He didn't speak to it. He smote it again. And waters came out. Waters came out. Right? But God pulled Moses over to the side and said, you glorified yourself. You didn't glorify me. I told you to speak to it and you didn't speak. You smote it. What is that story telling us? That story is telling us that Jesus Christ would be smitten a second time. Now, this is inside message here because people out in the world won't see this, right? We have a vindicated prophet, the same one you hear on those testimonies that knew those things. He said, I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not fairy tale stuff. This is on God's books. He's judging this generation because they crucified Christ. You say, well, Jesus didn't come in the... No, he didn't come in the flesh, but he came. He came in the Word, standing on the platform, showing himself, the same one with discernment and all the things that he did, showed himself in a ministry that even they testify, and they crucified him. They rejected him. What does that do? Don't miss this. What does that rejecting of that word do in our day? That makes that word a bleeding word. Atonement. That makes that bleeding word opens the doorway for a token that could only be applied in evening time with an evening time message. See? So now we've got this word, we've got this ministry, vindicated before God, thoroughly right out there. Now, if we want to jump over here in the camp of the critics, then we'll get the spirit of the critics. But if you get over here in the Word and you realize this is the Word coming to pass, here's this prophet that is raised up with this ministry, and now the world has smitten it, the world has rejected, they put up all kinds of websites and everything else to criticize it. That means now it's a bleeding word, and now I can take that, and I can cover my house with that token. Right? If they hadn't have done it, if they hadn't have rejected it, we wouldn't have what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not trying to tell you wouldn't have what you had 2,000 years ago, but I'm telling you, we've come to a place where all things are being fulfilled. And everything that Christ did there, is all coming to complete fullness. And he had a word coming forth today that would secure a bride and so forth. And showing it, it becomes the believing word. So there has to be somebody that are critics. For us who believe it, beneficiaries of that. And it's hard saying. It's hard to sit here and say there are people who reject it, but we receive it, and we receive great blessings on it, but it comes at the price of somebody who was rejecting it, just like it was in those days. But it had to be. Amen. This is not milk. Amen. So, Those, as I said last week, you know, those were all speaking Christ is coming. And then at some point, the lives of people begin to say, Christ is here. Christ is coming. Christ is coming. Now he's here. So in the days of the apostles, lives lived were testifying that he's here, he's here, he's here. Right? Christ is here. And as we talked about how that when Jesus went up, ascended on high and sent back the Holy Ghost, come into his people, and now he begins to live out lives through people in the seven church ages. And those lives are speaking and saying something. And here we are at the end time looking back on it. We can see that Paul and Irenaeus and Martin and Luther and all those, their lives and the message was telling something's coming. Something's coming. Christ has come. Now he's come back in the mystery into his bride. And now they're living something. And all those lives were saying, the bride's coming. There's a bride. She's coming. We are a people who are beneficiaries of him. He's now in us. We're the bride. And we're living out types and shadows throughout the seven ages. And we're pointing. There's a bride coming. There's a bride coming. And so eventually we get over to the end time. And now events begin to unfold where it's no longer saying there's a bride coming, but it's saying now it's here.
Right.
Events prove it. What events? Events of this restoration. Events of this prophet to come. Events of these things are proving we're here. She's here. Amen? And so now here we are, lives being lived out in our day that's saying she's here. She's here, and just like any message in any day, it has rejectors. She's here, and so events happening today and people choosing their sides today. Sermon title comes to mind, Taking Sides with Jesus, because that's what people are doing. We're taking sides. What are we doing? We're looking at what has happened, and people fail to see that this is that which was spoken. The scriptures. And so they take the wrong side, take an approach against it. Amen. So when one of the places where Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear, it was pertaining to, and this is back now to what we read in scriptures, and I'll try to run through this real quick. Where Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear, was concerning the forerunner. The forerunner of John the Baptist. And so, when Jesus is saying, listen to this, take notice here of how this forerunner is going to come, how he's going to have the spirit of Elijah, how that he will be rejected also, just like Christ will be rejected, and you know, make sure you hear what he's saying here. And so Jesus is telling us this. He that hath an ear, listen, don't miss this forerunner, how he comes. Why? Because in our day, he doesn't want us to miss how the forerunners are coming in our day. Don't miss it. He will have the spirit of Elijah. And I could just go down the list of all the different things there. Don't miss it, because this is very important. At the end time, it'll bring the restoration. You gotta be, when it said he'll prepare the way for the Lord, well, what about the people who weren't prepared? Well, then they missed the Lord. But the ones who did, listened to John, and they did. And you know that's in scripture, because when Jesus challenged him, you know, he said the baptism of John was of God or of men. And they wouldn't answer, because they knew that if they said it was of man, people would stone him, because they knew John was a prophet. But yet, if they said it was of God, well, then he'd say, well, then why didn't you listen to him? Because they didn't listen to John, and they didn't listen to Jesus.
Right.
So they those who missed, don't miss this, those who missed the forerunner missed the Christ. He foreran. And it's the same today. Subtitle for this sermon is, how did they miss it? How did they miss that when everything was come just exactly the way God said? And here's Jesus standing there and telling them he was that one. And they missed it. He had to be careful and say, listen to this. And so he's telling us the same thing today. Do not miss this forerunner. Do not miss how he comes. just because you've rejected, hey, that's the earmark of what God said would happen. Right? But so let's look for just a moment what Jesus said about John. And I want to say it like this. So here's John pointing to Jesus. And now I step over here and say, now here's Jesus, and he's going to tell you about John. He's going to tell you things about John that maybe John didn't say. And I'll say the same thing, that God would send a forerunner today, and that forerunner today would point to the bride. And now that bride is going to stand here, and that bride's got some things to say about that forerunner. Because this bride is Christ in bride form. So now, once again, Christ is here now, having things to say about this forerunner, showing you the vindication of the whole sequence of how God did it once and he's done it again, and the same thing's happening today that it did then. People are missing it. And now the bride is having to say, careful, careful, catch it. Don't miss it. He that hath an ear, don't gloss over this. Listen. Don't miss this coming. That's what the bride. And so let's hear what the bride in Christ in bride form. Let's hear what Christ is saying about, you know, and what he said about John saying about messenger of our day. Didn't Jesus, we read it there, he said, hey, he was a prophet, but he was more than a prophet. Yeah. You know, when Brother Branham decided he wanted to leave and go up into the mountains, and the Lord had him go to Idaho and seen all the mountains. He said, you're greater. You got more gifts than that. Right? So, and I'm not speaking of the man. I'm speaking of the ministry that was in him. Because that, Brother Branham was part of the bride of Christ too, but yet he was acting out this forerunner. He was that forerunner. That spirit of Elijah in him. So, Jesus said about John, he said, you know what, up to this point, there has not risen a man greater, anyone born a woman greater than John the Baptist. Something to say about someone. I think if John over there in prison could have heard that, I mean, he'd have probably lifted up his shoulders and lifted his head and quit hanging down and wondering. Me? But that's true. There's not been a ministry greater up to this point. You know, the prophet said, Jesus, and he said it this way, Jesus had more success, did more things in my ministry than he did in his own. Why? Because of the day that it is. It wasn't a man, it was Jesus doing it. Right? So up until this point, there's not been anything greater than this. And it went around the world. Testimonies. Amen. But Jesus said, however, going forward, he that's least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Why? Because there was a change of dispensation. There was a change of dispensation from John to Jesus, where now every person who comes underneath this gospel is born again into the kingdom of heaven. They have an experience greater than that which John had, because it was under new dispensation, new covenant. What about today? Well, we're changing today. We're changing dispensations. And the thing that prophet pointed to is even greater than the very thing that he was possessing himself. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not to diminish that. And so, he said, if you will receive it, this was Elias, which was to come, right in their midst, coming to pass, and even the elect were missing it. Even the disciples said, I thought Elias was supposed to come. And Jesus said, he did, and you missed it. Right? So after it's all gone off scene, now we're having to go back and say, it was that ministry. People's missed it. It was that. Who is it that's saying this now? What do we have? What do we possess as the bride coming of Christ? What position do we hold? We hold that very position that he pointed to in the first place, that God used him to be a forerunner to bring us to, is where we're at. So, amen. So if Jesus had to point to him, give honor to him, Jesus pointed to him and gave honor to John, and he had to rebuke the people. Even the elect standing there missing it, he had to rebuke them for acting like children. Think about it. Because God had done exactly what he said he was going to do. I'm going to send a forerunner. And they had evil things to say about it. And now the thing he pointed to was here now, fulfillment of scripture, and they had evil to say about that. And so Jesus said about that, you're like children in the marketplace. Saying, I've piped and you haven't danced, I've mourned and you haven't lamented. Right? Because John came neither eating or drinking. He had a Nazarite vow. Don't ever drink or smoke or defile your body in anywhere. See what I'm saying? He had that. Then they criticized him. And the same ones that criticized that, now, over here, he said, now the Son of Man comes and he's eating and drinking. He's not, you know, but you're saying, look, he's a drunkard, he's a winebibber. And so he's like, you're like children in the marketplace. You, no matter how it comes, no matter how God sends it, you always have something bad to say about it. Right? That's what Jesus said. Jesus, the Word in flesh. I'm pretty sure that was right. He said that, then what about us in this day? Right? Had to get on to them for that. Even said to that generation, and I want to make sure you catch this, because this is repeating now. You know, Satan wants to make you think this is not that important. It is one of the most important things you'll ever come across to deal with in your life. This crossroads. This is how serious it is. Jesus said to those people who wouldn't receive the forerunner and wouldn't receive him, like he said, children in the marketplace, he said, it's going to be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Sodom than for you. What a reproach. You really? Could he say the same thing today, that people who reject what mightily thing God has done, and said, you know what? Sodom and Gomorrah would have, they're not going to be saved, but they'd have a greater chance at making an end than you who've seen these things happen, things done in your midst, that was done in your midst, and you, right? That's what he said. If the works that have been done in Sodom was done in you, right? And it's going to be more tolerable for them than for you. Why? Because you've seen it. And you rejected it. Right. Amen. More tolerable. But then Jesus, after he has this little thing here, where he says what he did about John, then Jesus looks up, lifts up his eyes. He says, Father, I thank you because you hid these things from the wise and prudent. What things? This forerunner, this coming, this whole event where they rejected the forerunner and they're rejecting the Christ that he forerun, the message that he forerun. They're rejecting it, that whole thing. They're rejecting it. Father, I thank you because you've hid these things from those who would try with their own wisdom to use it. You've hid it from them. But you have revealed it to babes. Amen. Jesus said, I thank you, Father, because you've done this. It should cause us to rejoice to say, Lord, I thank you because this cannot be understood by just intellective man. I thank you that it takes your Holy Spirit to reveal these things. Because life is a precious thing to you. Eternal life is precious to you. And you're not just going to give it out to anybody. Right? We know that. So, then he says in verse 28, think of this. If Jesus said these things about John, and here we are now coming to Christ now, and we're saying the same thing, and we have to preach the same message, we have to say this was John, and you're in trouble because you're rejecting it. Then, And we can rejoice in knowing that these things have to be revealed. But they can we do the same thing Jesus said? Can we, standing here in this position where we know what we know and we're standing for what we stand and we have a message that has been rejected but we have embraced it, can we stand here and can we say, come, come to me, come to this, all you that labor are in heavy labor? And my answer to you is yes. We are acting out the same thing. We're coming to a squeeze. We're coming to a rejection. We're coming to a Gethsemane, just like he did. But while this is going on, we're saying, this is the message. There's a forerunner. This is the truth. And I'm telling you, if you'll come to this, you that are labor and heavy laden, this yoke is easy and the burden is light. Do you understand what he's saying? The yoke you put on horses or whatever, that, hey, it's easy, right? His yoke is easy and the burden is light. Just let him come in and let him do that, and you will find out it's not a problem when you're a believer. It's glorious. Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. You'll find rest for your souls. Amen. You know, whenever you get, you, as Christians, we know that when we get around people of other spirits, we pick up their spirits. Or, you know, the prophet said, a lot of times people get their pastor spirit. What you want to have is get the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So who you hang with, who you run with, what you spend your time thinking and doing, those are spirits. Right? And so we don't want to get in, you know, I think when there on that day when Jesus was standing there, and this is in the scriptures where, like, you know, either with Jesus or with Paul, you know, it's like, well, a lot of the multitude didn't even know what the uproar was about. Remember that? They didn't even know what it was all about. But, you know, people get caught up with the crowd. Right? Don't get caught up with the crowd and about something you don't know about. Find out first before you take your steps. And where you stand, right? Amen. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief came for to kill, steal, and destroy, to kill you, to steal your joy. But Jesus said, I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Amen. How many wants life more abundantly?
Amen.
Amen. Heavy instructions out of the scriptures to show you is happening again. And God has made it clear to us where everything is. Amen. And so I pray that each one of us be very careful how we go forward and how we treat this message and the things that God is doing in our day. Amen. Let's let Brother Tim, the musicians, come. Our hearts to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, Lord, at the end of this service, Lord, we have made it statements, Lord, and saying that we cannot go forward without you. And Lord, I know as I've said these things this morning, just like in your scriptures, these are hard sayings, but Lord, they are truth. And so, Lord, I'm asking God, that you would just give us the spirit this morning of reception of your word. Lord, not to be in the camp of the rejectors, Lord, but to believe. And Lord, so we would keep pressing on and keep praying, as the song would say. And we would take notice to the specials this morning that as we try to do it, every time we try to do things in ourselves, it just doesn't work. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to come to a full understanding, a full recognition this morning that is our situation, Lord, that when we try in ourselves, Lord, it doesn't work. And this morning, Lord, or this afternoon now, we ask God that you would touch us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that as your people would meet you now with sincere hearts and ask you, Lord, to reveal these things to them. Lord, I pray that you would break off every evil thing that would hinder your people, no matter where they are in their walks of life and how long they've been a Christian. Lord, that you would break off anything and force back any evil thing that would hinder them, and let them, Lord, to believe this word and begin to see these things and how it comes. And Lord, it's a great revelation of your presence among your people in this day. Lord, we just ask that you bless them in that way with a higher walk. Lord, let them come up into table lands where they can feast on these things away from the enemies. Let them have a time of rejoicing, a time of great unfolding of your word, Lord, that they can get strength by it. Just hold back the battles for a while, Lord, that they can enjoy these things and soak them in, Lord. We love you. Ask for your blessings upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Safe as they go play, what is it called?
Pickleball.
They go play pickleball. Amen. Don't get yourself in a pickle. You know, I was studying yesterday, and you know, there's a time for everything. There's a time and a season for everything. And, you know, we do in the season, in the time that it is appropriate, the things that are appropriate for it. But whenever that season changes, you don't want to keep doing things from a previous season than what. And so I know we have brothers that like to be athletic and so forth, you know. And, but, you know, when you get a little bit older, you got to be careful. That's why you don't see me out there. So, but those are two. I enjoy watching it. I enjoy knowing that everybody has a good time. But, you know, when seasons change, you know, God's seasons have changed in the message. Things are different now, and you have to have birth pains to have a birth, right? You have to. And so seasons change. You have to have the wintertime for you to have a beautiful spring. We have to have, I like I said, this week, you know, just a week of in the presence of the Lord. But you know that if you stayed in that all the time, it would become common to you, because that's just the way we are. So you have to have cycles, right? And so these cycles help us to appreciate the good things that come when they do. Amen. So may the Lord bless you. We'll sing again.
Oh, that God.